Hey, I want to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We're bringing Tyler Devereaux back onto the show, and we are announcing and celebrating our recent book launch together. Hey, Tyler, first off, just want to say welcome back on the show. So great to have you here, man.
Thanks. Glad to be here, Adam. Thanks for having me back, bro.
All right. So we got a lot to cover today. Of course, we're going to talk about what you're doing over at Multifamily Capital Partners and the Multifamily Mindset and podcast as well. Love having fellow podcasters on here and definitely want my audience to go check out your content. And we'll go further into that. But before we get into this, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So, Tyler, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Tyler, what mission matters to you?
Yeah, I love the leading question, man. And I'll say that it is helping people obtain financial freedom. You know, I believe that that provides massive peace of mind. And it's something that I certainly have not always had. And so I know what it's like to finally grasp it. So we have two major companies. You know, we have the Multifamily Mindset. That's our education company. And the whole, I mean, we're so much more than a multifamily education company that like we help people attack their doubts, take ownership of their life so that they can elevate themselves and then be a blessing to really everybody that they come in contact with. Yeah. Right? Life is best lived when it's owned, man. And we help them take ownership of their life. Mm-hmm. Our other side is just Multifamily Capital Partners. That is our investment company. Something I'm extremely passionate about there as well. We help our investors get out of unstable traditional investments and into apartment buildings. In, you know, apartment buildings are one of the best alternative investments out there. So we help them create generational wealth for their families. Through that, we distributed, I think it's like $54 million or something to investors just last year alone. Yeah. So man, that's the mission that matters the most to me. We provide housing for thousands of families, you know, wealth generation for our investors, jobs for our employees. So that's, and then help people, you know, our students do the exact same thing. I'm passionate about it, man. Grateful for it.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I've followed your work now going on, you know, last couple of years we've been working together. And I'll say that I'm always fired up from talking to you and just seeing your heart and passion for the industry, for real estate, for your investors, for the opportunities that you're creating for others as well. But one of the things you said, financial security, financially independent, like it didn't all start there for you, right? Like how did you start on this path to really financial freedom and really real estate in general?
Yeah, no, definitely did not start there. But I'm grateful for that, you know? Yeah. Like, it's been a journey, which is what makes me grateful for it every day, you know? Mm-hmm. My little girl said a prayer the other day, and she said, in her prayer, she said, thank you for this wonderful mom of mine and all these amazing things that her mom does. And then she said, and thank you for this dad who helps make money for us while he's working on those apartment things, you know? But, man, it's been a journey. I got started in it. I've always been curious about wealth. You know, I grew up in a great family, great parents who had lots of love, you know, but I saw financial hardship for sure. Definitely for sure. And I had a front row seat at that. And it was my responsibility, man. I just felt like it was my responsibility to change that financial narrative for my family. So I've always been curious about wealth, always looking for ways to acquire it, not just to like buy cool things or like, that's not even it. It's literally to have peace of mind, you know? Yeah. And so I did a bunch of different business ventures that eventually led me to real estate, but I knew that I wanted to scale. I knew that I wanted like time. Time is like my number one. That's my number one driver for a number of different reasons in the past that we don't need to necessarily get into the weeds there, but time is important to me, man. And so I found about multifamily and understood the scalability of multifamily, the passive income side of multifamily. And Adam, I went all in, and that's one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. My wife is that number one decision. Kids are number two. Multifamily real estate may be number three. So,
wow. It's a great story. And one of the things I like about it is that you had to start somewhere. Like you didn't come from a real estate family, or it wasn't handed to you. Like you went on this path of learning and you had to either educate yourself or maybe you had mentors along the way. Like how did you start to upskill? Like, let's go back to the early days.
Great question, bro. And definitely I had mentors because I didn't know anybody Literally, I didn't know anybody that had owned an apartment building. Like, it wasn't even in the realm of possibility for me. I went to an event by a gentleman, his name's Dave Lindahl, and I love Dave. And Dave opened my eyes, man, to possibility. He opened my eyes to truly what is possible. And that's made a huge impact in my life. I went there, learned how to level up my investment game, learned that really what was possible. My belief was enhanced because I started to surround myself with other people that were doing things that I never thought was possible. And then what's cool about that is once that happened, then it was like, man, once you've accomplished something or you do something that you thought was impossible, then it opens your mind up to like, man, well, shit, what else is possible? You know, it was awesome. So that's how it started. Definitely had mentors. I still have mentors to this day. You know, no matter what level you're at, there are always people that are at a different level. So I'm always trying to level up, man.
Yeah. And I think that's a great transition to the book and to your content in the book. So value creation leads to wealth creation. One of the things that you wrote about, think bigger in every aspect of your life. Like speak to me, like how do we do that?
Oh, I love that question, man. Thinking bigger is at the core of literally everything that we do. So you said value creation leads to wealth creation. And I said that I was always curious about wealth, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I just didn't know how to obtain it. I thought that you obtained wealth by working hard, but I've learned some wealth principles. And number one wealth principle is that you'll never obtain wealth by working harder. Mm-hmm. You get it by investing. But what happens is you have to put yourself in a position to be valuable enough to make enough money to have excess to invest. And so we think bigger in every aspect of our lives by looking and getting outside of our petty financial concerns and needs and providing value, because value creation is that key to being valuable enough to create wealth, excess to be able to invest, right? So our motto with our investment company is invest with aloha. And really, like, the true meaning of I live out here in Maui. I love the Hawaiian culture and the values that it stands for. And aloha doesn't just mean hello, goodbye. Like, it's not what it means, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does mean that. Don't get me wrong. But the true deeper meaning of aloha is, so alo means to see, and ha is breath of life. So when I say aloha, I mean, I see the God in you. I know you see the God in me. It's very, very, very reciprocal. And then ha is breath of life. Like, I want to breathe life into you, man. I want to breathe. You mentioned right as we got on the call before we went live, you said, man, you always have that aloha vibe.
Yeah.
It's because I feel responsible to carry an aloha vibe with me. It's because I want to breathe life into any and every person that I come in contact with. And so we breathe life into, you know, our investors by offering awesome passive investments. We breathe life into our students by educating them and providing experiences to help them create their wealth as well. Mindset, those kind of things. I can get deeper into the think bigger side as well if you'd like and what that means, but
Well, one thing that has, it kind of sticks out, and I like your way of saying it much better than mine, the breathe life. And when I think about like the fact that you're providing opportunities and layers of opportunities, not just, you know, for the people that you employ, but there's like there's kind of a ripple effect of opportunity that happens when somebody like yourself and, you know, many of the other business leaders out there, they go, they take the risk, because it's never easy. There's story upon story about, I'm sure this wasn't a smooth upward journey where everything worked perfect. And it was just, you've been doing this long enough. There had to be ups, downs. I mean, pandemic happened. We had, you know, 2008. We have all these other things that affect real estate and otherwise, but yet you're still, you know, thinking bigger, still going after what you're, you know, what you want and to provide these opportunities. What do you think sometimes holds people back from thinking big? Like, what do you think? I feel like some people want to, but what do you think holds people back?
Bro, it's a great question. I love how you led into the question, because it's definitely not. So a lot of times, man, people see it's interesting because people will see me where I'm at today.
And yeah.
If they don't know me, they just know me where I'm at today. And it's unfair for them. It's unfair for them because they haven't seen this journey. And they also don't see, like, dude, there's still struggles today. Struggles don't go away. Like, the problems don't go away. The problems actually get bigger. You just become stronger, right? You become strong enough to handle bigger problems. And so what stops people from thinking bigger I think it's a couple things. I think number one is just self-doubt. And self-doubt comes from not honoring self-promises. See, I believe the smallest, simplest things that we can do are just honor self-promises, and that will enhance our belief to actually just think bigger in different realms of our life, right?
Yeah.
The other one is just, it's our environment. It's absolutely our environment. Like when you said level up earlier, right?
And yeah.
That's why I'm always trying to level up, because when we get surrounded, when you're the biggest thinker in the room, it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem because you're the biggest thinker in the room, which means you're capped. You've plateaued. But when you get into a room, I love going into rooms where I'm the smallest thinker in the room, because then I'm like, oh, geez, I thought I was thinking big. I gotta be bigger, you know?
Yeah.
And it really enhances your view of what's possible. But the biggest number one thing, bro, is just fear, man. People, I'm a very faithful person. What I mean by that is I'm spiritual, man. And
yeah,
I won't get too deep into the spiritual side, but I'm spiritual. Like, I believe like God is with me always. And so that gives
absolutely
me faith. And really, confidence, bro, confidence means with faith. And it takes confidence to think bigger. So confidence means with faith. And I just believe, I believe in a think bigger God. I believe that God wants, no matter what I like, all these things that I think that I want that may be too big, I believe God thinks bigger than I do, for sure.
Oh yeah.
And fear is the other side. Fear is the opposite. Like, faith is projecting best case scenario into the future. Fear is projecting worst case. That's what most people do. They focus on what they don't want instead of what they do want, which is why they never get what they want. Right.
Yeah. No, it's great. And as you're saying this, first off, God's in this show. I say this all the time on the show. I'm like, God is present and he's here. Cause if somebody thinks that this, whatever we're doing at Mission Matters happening because of my genius or anything like that, they're wrong. I just got the questions. And I'll tell you what, it's funny that you say, when you get into those rooms that are big and like other things like that, where, and you're like, man, I'm the smallest. Those rooms used to scare me, especially when I was younger. I'd walk into a room or something like that and I'd be terrified, because I hear about it and I'm like, wow, I thought I was thinking big, but wait a minute, this isn't even, I'm not even thinking on this like plane. I didn't even know that existed. And then, as you know, things get bigger and bigger, I can see, you know, obviously in hindsight, like God's plan of why you don't get it all at one time, and this process and this journey and all these other things. Like, when we started this show, I used to do like 70, 80 interviews a week, and I'd have like per week. So that's, you know, over a year's worth of content every week for years. And I'd be, you know, I have an ice pack on my head at the end of the day, right? But I understand it was a training process, and it was something that, like, it's, you know, kind of, do you really want it? Like, do you really want some of these other levels? And then if you do, like, there's a price and there's a way for you to upskill. Can you talk a little bit about maybe your journey and how, maybe, like, I want people to know, like, it's not that, like, if there's no vertical, like, quick, get rich, easy or anything like that. Cause in a moment or two, I want to get into your fund model and I want to unpack it. But first I want people to know, like, it's real.
Oh yeah. It's interesting that you're talking about that. There's no, it's not just, you don't just go from here to here.
And if you did, it'd be dangerous.
Very much so. Cause it's a lot easier to obtain wealth than it is to grow and maintain wealth. Yeah. It's very rare that we ever, you know, achieve and keep more than we feel like we're worthy of. So how do we feel like we're worthy of the blessings that we're getting? Well, we take the steps. You know, I don't believe that God just blesses you with a finalized like blessing. I actually believe that God blesses you with opportunities, and you turn those into the blessings, right? That's what I believe. Yeah. And so this incremental stage, like, I'll give you this example. Starting and growing my investment company, you know, that investment company, I first started to invest in myself so that I would be valuable enough. Then I started to understand that I needed to put that money to work. Okay. I had to put that money to work. So anything that I would make actively, I would turn it into passive income. Now, but that, listen, that required faith, man. That required faith, because it wasn't. Real estate isn't a get rich overnight quick scheme, dude. It's an incremental compounding effect that you're investing, and watching it grow. And that took faith, because, man, that money that I was investing, I could have justified using that for a ton of other things in the short term moment, in the short-term moment that would have made me feel a lot more comfortable, which would have made me feel a lot more comfortable. Yeah. But very rarely is what is most comfortable in the short term best for us in the long term. And so continually reminding myself of that meant literally anything that I would make actively, I'd invest passively. And it's not that I lived in poverty, but dude, I don't, I still to this day don't buy crazy expensive things. I just don't. Like, I'm obsessed with acquiring assets that exceed liabilities, because that's peace of mind for my family and I. And so now, like, I'm not just doing this for me today, even though I want to live a great life today too, right? I want to make sure that my family's set up, and that's an incremental growth. And so the problem is, most people, like the reason people get stuck in a job, the reason that people get stuck in these things that produce low yield is because they see at least a yield right out the gates. A job, you're going to go clock in, you're going to get paid, right? If you're going to create anything of massive value and thinking bigger, you just got to realize that there's going to be a portion where you don't get paid. It compounds and compounds and compounds until you realize, well, the payday. And then the paydays continue to compound and compound. And so I can't even remember what your initial question was, but I hope I answered it.
It's the journey, and you illustrated it. And that's the thing. And I guess another word that is, I think, kind of a lost art is the idea of delayed gratification, and not just getting like what you want immediately there, and like, you know, saving or doing other things and investing and like all the other things that are, you know, kind of a lost art. I won't say for all, but for many. And so that was my goal, was to hear a little bit more about the story and how you really, like, it's not overnight. And the reason why I bring that up is because I do want to talk about your motto and the fund model specifically, and maybe unpack that a little bit so people can see, you know, so through the course of you building and building and building, the route you went, because there's a lot of different ways to accept investments and to build a real estate company to do it, but maybe unveil a little bit more about your fund model and why you chose that route for your investors.
Yeah, totally. It's very hard to start with a fund, right? We started with what's called the syndication. So talk about this journey, right? My first deal was a 20 unit deal, small little deal, that first multifamily deal. Then it goes into a 75 unit deal. Then we continue to grow and grow, right? But then, and those are called individual syndications. So that means that we are raising money from friends, family, connections, people like that, right? And we're taking down these deals. But then as you're continuing to take care of investors, and here's what you really need to do at this point, okay? In that stage of the journey, you are giving your investors more. You're essentially paying them more than they would get elsewhere because you're new. It's like you almost have to give them that extra incentive for them to be like, yes, I'm going to invest in this, right? And so this is thinking bigger though, okay? This is the epitome of thinking bigger. You're giving your investors more so that you can grow and gain a track record. But then what most people do is they gain this track record, then they'll structure a fund, and where they've, you know, been favorable to splits for their investors, now that they have a track record, now they move those splits favorable to them. I actually believe sincerely to my core that that's a scarcity mentality. They're now trying to hoard as much as they can. But man, our mission, I told you our mission is not to just for me to obtain wealth and financial freedom. It's for all of those who we serve to obtain that. So man, we structure a fund, and the whole reason we structured a fund, man, is not to change our splits and our model and our preferred returns. It was all about being able to take down the deal flow that we have. Our fund is structured the exact same way that our individual syndications work.
Which is super unique, by the way. I'll be the first to say that. That's super unique. And if for anybody that's never invested in a syndication or a fund, we probably won't go too deep on like structure today. But I say Google it. And obviously, at the end of this, I'll give Tyler an opportunity to leave website, things like that, so that you can also follow up and learn more of the intricacies. But go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And it is, it's very rare. But I believe that this has been our separator, because I believe our separator is really threefold, and it really does come down to thinking bigger. Like, it's our deal flow that we have, it's our operations team that we have in place, and it's our investing partners. Like, we own one of the largest multifamily education companies in the nation. We have thousands and thousands of students that think about it. We're teaching our systems to And people would be like, why would you take the time to teach your systems to people? Well, because somebody taught me, man. And I was very grateful for that. And that sounds cheesy, but that's just real. But the reality is, by thinking bigger that way and actually understanding that there's enough to go around, it is not limited. It is grown in every hour. So think about this. We train them on our systems, and then they bring us deals. Like, we've been able to create deal flow in a time that it's hard to find deals. And I would say that we underwrite more deals than damn near probably any other syndication group out there. And then we can cherry pick the best ones and partner with our students on those deals. And ultimately that's why we had to move to a fund model, though. Because our individual syndications, they were filling up just too quick. They're filling up too quick. We could only take down so many deals. We only had so much room for investors to participate in. And so we started the fund. And so that second, I guess, separator for us is our investing partners. Those investing partners are a huge separator for us because they're very loyal. We have an amazing group of passive investors who are very, very loyal. Some of them have invested on every deal we've ever done. It's no joke. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible to me. And here's what that has done. That's allowed us to confidently negotiate with brokers, sellers, and getting those deals to the closing table has then it's impacted our credibility as an operations team. And then the operations team is that number three. We have 50 plus people on our operations team who live, sleep, eat, breathe this business.
Wow.
And then, what's crazy is our education side, we train our students, but man, our group is very active. We've been able to help our students acquire over $1 billion of multifamily real estate.
Amazing.
So it's like, they're very active. It's crazy. Man, it's a crazy number.
And that is.
Even though we teach them, we group think a lot. We benefit from that group think with them a ton. It's been a huge blessing. So anyway, those have been some of our biggest separators and why we have the track record that we do.
And that deal flow, that concept of deal flow is super unique. Like, I've seen a couple of individuals, another leader that I put in your category, his name's Reed Davis, more in the healthcare space, diagnostic nutritionist, his company. And, he's one of the founders in that kind of space of using diagnostic and alternative medicine. And really a lot of his business grew was pretty similar to yours, except in the nutrition space. And what he did was people were coming because they had this, need or thing that they wanted and they wanted to learn. And then over time that evolved into they became practitioners and other things, and it spiraled. So, and I don't know if that was his original intention, but that's what happened. And that's what I believe happens when you create a great platform and you have that heart of just wanting to teach and give. Like, I'm positive that when you started that company, because it wouldn't have grown that way. When you started that, you were just trying to give, and you were trying to give the knowledge somebody had given you. People can see that. They can feel it. They can tell when they join your program or your education platform versus another. Not saying anything negative about somebody else, but they can feel like, okay, I see why this person is doing it. I get it. And then it's kind of almost like the BS test as they go through your material, because now they also know the fundamentals and that what you're teaching is also what you're practicing. And then it seems like there'll be, if I'm a student going through that course or through your courses, there's going to be people that kind of put themselves in whatever category they want to be. Maybe they started along the path of thinking they were going to be learning this so they can go start a big real estate company, all this. And then they realize I'd rather invest instead, and let me just take a piece of it and let me do this. Or some are like, okay, this is what I needed. Now I'm going to go do this. And some are like, hey, let's partner. And you have every different variation, and it just keeps growing, and you keep on doing it, and you keep on, your reputation stays solid, and you keep on, delivering for your investors and your students and executing. Am I off on kind of how some of this grew?
You nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. So we actually started the education side in 2020.
Wow.
So that isn't it. We're an event company. We hold live events, and we started our business in a time where it's illegal to hold live events, man. But we did. And the reason we did it, man, is because
I love that you said that, because for everybody watching that is like, you never hear about the businesses or the profit centers that start during the Great Depression or start during 2008 or start during 2002. If they're a longtime listener of this show, they hear it. And I make sure to pull that out so people know that it can be done. So let's see, you started the event side at the absolute worst point on the graph that you're supposed to start an event company. Go ahead.
but it's crazy. But what's amazing is we started it because, man, I felt like people needed it more. They needed hope.
Yeah.
More than they'd ever needed it. And, but they weren't getting it anywhere. There was nowhere to get it. And so that's really was a big motivator there. And what's incredible is as we started that, I never thought about that education side as, hey, it's going to impact our investment side. I really didn't. It was a whole nother vehicle. But what's crazy is exactly, you nailed it on the head, is as people come through, like why, like people will sit on cash and they won't invest it because they don't have the confidence to invest it. But think what we do. We educate them on what they should be looking for, how to invest, how we operate these deals. That builds a lot of confidence in their knowledge and then in us because they see what we're doing. We see what they're doing. So it's a natural process. Like I'm one of the biggest individual investors, if not the biggest individual investor within our fund, because dude, I understand what we do and our students are the same way, which is why they're one of the biggest contributors to that as well.
Yeah. And as you'd expect, whether it's a real estate fund, it's a hedge fund, it's like a lot of different things. Like normally the founder or the founders or the, you know, they should be, you know, heavily invested as well. So then all those little things, those checks and balances, they add up. And that also gives individuals the confidence, not just to invest with you, but in the content you're teaching as well, because they can see what you've done through it. So that's, I mean, that's the real key. Not against anybody who, you know, makes their money solely from the education standpoint, because some people, that's their gift. They can digest information, they teach it well, other people get it. Maybe they haven't necessarily done some of the things that they're teaching, but they can teach it well. Well, I mean, that again, nothing against them, but my preference is has always been to work through, because there's always something that you can't read or that's not in a book or something that, you know, that you had to go through to learn that piece. So when I'm working or when I'm investing, when I'm figuring out things, like I veer towards individuals like yourself and programs like yours that, you know, you've done it. And that, to me, that's a big deal. I want to spend some time here on podcasts. You know, I can't let you off the hook without talking about your podcast. So the Multifamily Mindset Podcast, tell me a little bit more about the content. I have to do it.
Can I actually say, if you don't mind, man, can I say one more thing before?
Absolutely. For sure.
I just want to drill home on one point because we talk about deal flow and we're in this time where if anybody is being educated in the multifamily space or real estate space, they're like, man, deals aren't out there. And I talk, and it has been more challenging for sure to find deals. We've underwritten hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of deals this year to find ones that tick, but man, they're out there. And here's what's crazy. It's like, there's a lot going on, you know, there's a lot going on in the market but those are problems. Those are problems that we can solve. And so when we talk about value creation leads to wealth creation, that is what we're talking about. We're not running from problems. We're searching for problems to solve. And when you do that, man, you'll find solutions. You'll find problems to solve, the solutions to those problems, and deal flow. So I just wanted to drill, and if you want to, let's talk about the podcast. If you want to get into some of the deals, like, you know, a couple examples of those, I'm more than willing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just wanted to drill home on that, man. They're out there, but you've got to be creative and solution based to get them. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's honestly, dude, that's actually a good lead into our podcast, because our podcast is called the Multifamily Mindset Podcast. And people think that, and what are we talking about? We're talking about mindset and multifamily, man. That's what we talk about. And the biggest stumbling block, I mentioned this earlier, but the biggest stumbling block for people, it's not the education on how to do it. It's not their talents or abilities. It's their mindset, man. More opportunities are lost due to mindset than anything. Because if you have the right mindset, you'll recognize those opportunities, those blessings, if you will, right, everywhere. But if you have the wrong mindset, you'll squander opportunities everywhere because it's rooted in fear instead of solution, right? So that's what we're talking about on the podcast,
And is it an interview type show, or are you covering lessons? Like, give us a flavor for like what type of content like that the listeners can expect.
Yes, we do daily drips and then an interview. So we do daily drips. So Dallas Pruitt, he's my mental skills, mental training coach. Speaking of mentors, he does daily drips. And these are little 3 to 5 minute drips on an actual mindset principle that people can like apply that day, you know, right away. And those are super, super powerful, very powerful, because you know, most podcasts are long
yeah.
content form, you know, long mm-hmm. form content. And these are very short, digestible daily drips. Then I come on Fridays, though. And on Friday, I do what's called an Aloha Friday episode. And I talk about multifamily real estate. I talk about mindset. I talk about how to apply it. And that's more long form. That is either Jackson, who's here in the office in Maui with me, who's interviewing me on certain topics, or it's me interviewing, you know, high level guests. I interview mm-hmm. some of my, you know, our mentorship students. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a mix of both, bro.
Yeah. And I do want to circle back to the market climate overall. And just as people are kind of thinking about like this next, let's just say, phase in the economy, all the things that are happening, you mentioned there's still deals out there a little bit harder to get to maybe than typical. But what are some things that people should be considering as they're maybe thinking about allocating capital going into this next phase of the economy?
I believe that there's a couple major threats right now. You know, mm-hmm. one is lack of affordable housing. That's due to interest rate hikes. You know, yeah. there's been some supply chain issues, inflation, all of that has impacted affordable housing. And then number two is most Americans, man, are stuck in these risky, volatile investments, things like stock market or even a crypto, or, dude, even single family. And they're in that because it's all they know. But these are threats because staying in those will, I believe, potentially reduce the wealth of future generations. It causes uncertainty and eliminates peace of mind. All that causes massive frustration. And dude, our mission is to remove that frustration and help families thrive. And we do that by helping them get out of risky investments and into some of the most coveted investments in the world, which is US-based apartment buildings. What's interesting is most people think of like when I talk to somebody about multifamily, they're like, oh my God, the tenants, like, oh, I can't even imagine the tenants.
Yeah.
Because most people think hassle when they think of tenants. But
yeah,
I'll be honest, man, we love our tenants. Like, we love our tenants. We provide housing for thousands of families across the U.S., and I'm proud of that. But here's the thing. We understand that, like, this is why our investors love us, though. Our investors love us because we take care of all that stuff with tenants so that they don't have to deal with the hassle. Right. Mm-hmm. So renter demand, what's crazy is I mentioned it's more challenging to find deals, but we've underwritten a bunch of deals. But I want to be very clear, that's not because of the demand for the rental market. Like renter demand is still extremely high. Like I said, number one thing is lack of affordable housing. Dude, there are 9 million something Americans. I just read this stat the other day, 9 million something Americans who have been priced out of the housing market.
Wow.
In 2023 alone, and all those people need a place to rent, man. And you know, those people are also very good renters. You know, they've just been priced out of the housing market. So that being said, though, man, there are definitely operators right now. So there's operators right now who are feeling that squeeze, though, due to the interest rate hikes. There's $450 billion something in multifamily loans that will mature in 2023. You know, I actually did a podcast yesterday, and a lady named Vina Jetty, also in the space, super sharp. And she said, man, I've seen a lot of, she called them tourists of real estate, where because the market has been booming, there's been people who are just like, you know, I'm going to come dabble in here. And they, you know, get an apartment here, or they do this thing here. And those people are feeling the squeeze, dude, and they have problems. And dude, we're here to solve those problems. It's actually how we just landed our last deal. The deal that we're taking down right now.
Yeah, talk to me about some deals. Yeah, I want to hear what's going on.
Okay, so we just picked up. We're taking down a deal right now. It's called Arden Place. It's literally the one we close. I think it's next week, if I remember right. Yeah, next week we close Arden Place, and we picked it up in a pre foreclosure. So we talk about, you know, the loan side of things, the problem side of things, and it's this previous owner was the epitome of a tourist, you know, investor, if you will. And he just let the property go. You know, city had to get involved. You know, give you an example of this. They had one of the buildings had a leak. And dude, that could have been just such a simple fix, but he let it go and caused one of the buildings to be without water for weeks, which is just crazy to me. Like, that kind of stuff is crazy. That's somebody who doesn't care about tenants and people. So the city of Warner Robins, this property is in Warner Robins, Georgia. It's 114 units. They had to get involved. And they know our track record we're excited for us to have the opportunity to take it over. And so we were able to negotiate a pre-foreclosure purchase price. So all that means, instead of the seller getting there what they wanted, which is $12.4 million,
yeah,
we picked it up for $9 million. And which means $3.4 million of instant equity, which also equates to stability. And I point that out because problems are indicators for potential profit, right? That's what they are. They're an indicator for potential profit. And so we don't run from problems, man. We actually search for problems to solve. And that's what the most wealthy, successful people that I've ever studied have in common. That's what they do. Yeah. And Warner Robins, by the way, dude, that place is crazy. It's in Georgia. It's experiencing the largest population growth right now on record in Georgia, in all of Georgia's history. It's crazy.
Man, so, that's a great deal. It's a big problem. Yeah. I know there's a lot of things you have to do, a lot of things to create value, because you are creating value in the property and you're creating value for the tenants. I mean, come on, don't have water. That's crazy to me. You're creating value for the city, the tax base, like everything. Like, it's a trickle down.
Trickle down for sure. But man, that's also massive value for us and our investors.
Absolutely.
I literally am great. This deal is a fun one, man. It's a fun one because I'm very grateful for it, because it's this reminder of like, no, man, there are lots of problems.
They're out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man, that's huge. Yeah. Well, Tyler, you know, I can talk to you about real estate all day, but we're about out of time for this episode. But I do know that there'll be some people that watch and listen to this that are going to want to follow up, learn more from your team, whether it's about the coaching side and the education side of the platform, or even the investing side of the platform. So in general, if somebody wants to follow up and continue the conversation with your team, what's the best way for them to do that?
Instagram is the best way. I'm very active on Instagram, and all of my links to all the other businesses, opportunities that we have can be found there as well. It's just Tyler Devereaux, which is, you know, the name's up on the screen there. So Tyler_Devereaux. I would love to stay in contact. I'm very active on Instagram. So I actually am the one who replies to the messages and all those kinds of things. So I would love to, you know, connect, hit me up, and then I can connect you wherever you're looking to be connected. But yeah, I would love to stay in connection for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. And we'll put that information in the show notes, of course, so that our audience can head right on over and connect with you and your content as well. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or watching an episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their message, their mission, the reason behind it, like what gets them motivated to go out there into the world and to, you know, take some risk and to make a difference. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Tyler, again, welcome back on the show. So great having you back. I'm excited to continue promoting this book that we released together. And man, we're just getting started. So thanks again for all you do.
Thank you, bro. Thanks for letting me be a part of it, man. Appreciate it. And love being able to chat again, man. Thank you.